all of you here. I hope that you've had a good time in the house of God already. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're so thankful that you've come to visit. We ask you to come back and be with us some more. We look forward to getting to know you a little bit better. We have had a good time in our Sunday school hour as well. We have classes for all ages starting at 10 o'clock, small groups. And we have qualified godly teachers that love the Lord, love sharing what God's doing in their life. So if you wasn't here at 10 o'clock, maybe next Sunday you'll say, I'll come check out one of those small groups so that we can get to know you a little bit better in that small setting. We are thrilled at the music that went on this morning. Choir, you did great. Sister Dyer, the specials, and Brother Fox, praise the Lord. He said he plays 16 different instruments. Yeah. And so I asked him, could he play the banjo? And when I picked him up a while ago to bring him up over there, I said, you want me to get your jambo and bring it with you? No, it's a banjo, not a jambo. And he did a wonderful job with that. We're thrilled to have Brother Fox here with us. Be in prayer for all the events that's going on this week. I do want to say that I don't think this month we're going to be able to have the church picnic. Both places where we normally have them are booked completely full. So this year we're going to just have to skip the church picnic here for the October where we normally do it. But we got plenty of other stuff going on, I promise you that. Plenty of other stuff. We're going to be in Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Sister Swagman, Sister Yarborough, last night putting together the meal for our widows and the recently bereaved. We had a wonderful time with them last night, sitting a little bit away from them, and I was listening to them as they talked about the different things in the past with their spouse, and what an honor it was to hear them talk about the different things that had went on in their lives with their spouse, and only someone who's lost someone in that manner could really understand what they're going through, so I do appreciate it. That was really thoughtful of you two to do that for them. And we'll probably do it again in January sometime, just to honor our widows and those that have lost people. It was really a good meal. You did a great job. It was a lovely city. And thank you for serving and sowing into the lives of our widows. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. But from that, I began to think on these things that was happening last night. And so today's message is actually coming from those thoughts that you had about your loved ones. And so tonight, or this morning, how are we going to stay positive in such a negative world? We're in a negative place. I mean, we are in a negative world that we live in. We certainly are. But in Philippians chapter number 4, and let's start reading at verse 4, down to verse number 9, and then we're going to just spend a little bit of time on how to live in such a negative world. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Flip over, hold your place right there. We're going to come right back to Philippians 4. Flip over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 is a wonderful thing to hear. You turn it in your Bible, follow along with me. John chapter 16, verse number 33. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have overcome the world. So we live in a very, very negative place. I mean, you think about it. The violence, crime rate up everywhere. Just a couple of, maybe a month ago now, maybe 2 months ago, somebody broke into a room out here and stole a TV and a coffee pot and surround sound that we were having classes in. Just crime, violence, alcohol abuse. I think it's a thing that is really destroying us is we're overlooking this again. And then abortions galore. I mean, thousands and thousands of children lost. And this morning, if you've had abortion, we're not against you. We love you. We do. It's a painful choice that you made. We love you. But it's a sin against God, what these doctors are doing. Homes breaking up. Nowadays, the average lifespan of a home is 18 to 24 months. And we'll try it again somewhere else. Hospitals full of folks. The other day, there was a man down at the hospital down in Kissimmee, checked himself out, got out in the street and got ran over. Another car hit him and kept on going. Wanted to blame the hospital. Prisons full. I often think that if they would allow us to get the Bibles back into the kindergartens and the preschools of America, we may not need to have prison ministries. But we live in a negative world. Sometimes we come to church and sometimes we feel like the message coming from the pulpit is just all negative. Seems that way. I don't want to be one that brings a negative message. I understand 6 days out of the week you're in this negative world. But we live in a negative world. How are we going to operate? How are we going to get through this? The Bible says we're not to be negative people. Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We're not supposed to be a negative people. We're to focus on the positive thoughts of praise. Is that what he says right there in verse number 8 in the latter part? If there be any praise, think on these things. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Of good report. Things were virtue. Things that are true. And still it seems to me sometimes, Brother James, that we as God's people, this negative spirit is spilling over, and even amongst Christians, against in the house of God. They don't sing the song I sing, and I'm not going to sing. They don't let me sing my special one. I want to sing, I'm not going to sing. They don't let me teach the class I want to sing, I'm not going to attend the class. They can't teach no better than I can, I don't know why they have the class. It's negative. Just negative, all negative. How can we stay positive in this world which we live in? It should not be here different. We should rejoice. We have a lot to rejoice about. We really do. As I sat and listened to the widowers last night, as they talked over behind me at the table there, and they talked about their loved one, they talked about good times. Talked about the times that was lovely and pure and sweet and tender. Listen, I've lived a little bit too long in this world to know that these young widows and widowers we had, I think the youngest one over there must have been, about 72. Real young. Ain't no way they stayed married as long as they did, and there was no difficult times in their marriage. No hard times, no heartaches, no crossways and cross words. But they didn't talk about that. They thought about those good times. Pure times. Times that brought joy into their heart and their lives. We as God's people, we got to stop, pause for a moment. I know what's wrong with us. We live in a world, dear friend, where everything is just right at hand. Everything is right at hand. We got to get back to responding to the love of God. See, these people that are getting saved today, people are still getting saved. I'm going to tell you they are. Jesus is still in the saving business. We're not living in a day and age where people are not coming to the Lord. But a lot of us Christians walk around here like sourpusses. No joy in our heart, no uplift in our speech, no positive talking about the things of God. Everything you hear, church fight here, church fight there, church split over there, church problems over here. We got to get back to responding to the love of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes Him should not perish. That's you and I, dear friend. We're not going to heaven because we're some positive thinkers. We're not going to heaven because we're negative thinkers. We're going to heaven because we put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemption that's found in Christ alone. In this political correct world we live in, when you say that Jesus Christ is the only way. No, I didn't say that. God said it. I'm just repeating what God said. John 14:6, for I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4, the Bible says, by no other name shall man be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're just too narrow, preacher. You're so narrow that you're almost bigoted. It's funny how we throw around those accusations. Bigoted. Because I said Jesus is the only way? Wow. I'm not going to heaven because I think that way. I'm going to heaven because that's what God said, and I put my faith and trust in the work of God. So we got to respond. Listen, God's love is shown through creation. Do you understand that every one of us could have been born and lived on Mars? Have you seen any of those pictures they come up of Mars? That's a rough place. The closest I can think about it is out west, down around Yuma, Arizona. That's some rough land. I mean, rocks, cactuses, hot. Next thing you know, some Santa Ana winds come out of nowhere. It feels like somebody just turned a blow dryer on with sand hitting you in the face. Look where God planted us, in the Sunshine State. I mean, this is a beautiful place. I mean, the creation of God's hand speaks of His love, because we could have been born in the Mojave Desert and all the earth could have been the Mojave Desert. But there are some beautiful, wonderful places. Now, if you like the desert and want to live there, all for you. Praise God. Enjoy the desert. I don't even like the beaches around here. Sand's too hot. One day I went to the beach with my family and I ain't been since. My wife left something up in the car and said, would you go get it? I got off that blanket without having my flip-flops on, got halfway between the blanket and the beach, the stairs to go up. My feet were so hot, I couldn't turn around and go back. I couldn't go forward. Finally just took off running, got to where I wanted, and now my wife's out there still wanting what she wants, so what does any good man do with blisters on his feet? Runs back across there and gets double blisters. I mean, if you like the desert, it's wonderful. I'm telling you, dear friend, God speaks through His creation. This is lovely. It's lovely in this world we live in. Lovely. Why did He do that, Brother Ray? He created this world with such love and tenderness and beauty so you and I could enjoy it. So that His love would show forth through the creation. It's revealed all through the Bible. I don't understand, you know, a child of God that will not spend no time whatsoever reading the Word of God. We've gotten so crazy in our Christian walk that we've come up with plans. One 30-second verse a day and you're good to go. That's how shallow we've become. That we think one verse a day is enough for us. And we wonder why we're so brought down into this negative world. Because we're so full of the world. That we cannot walk positive and upright. Well, Pastor, I don't see the love of God in creation. I don't see the love of God in the Word. Surely you can see the love of God at Calvary. We got to respond to the, why do we do what we do? Are we doing it to please man? Or we do what we do because God has been so good to us. And He loved us as individuals. Think with me for a moment as that thief on the cross. There was a thief on one side, a thief on the other. And Jesus Christ laid the in between on the cross of Calvary. And those two thieves on crosses in there. And in the midst of His pain, because He loved this thief who rightly deserved what he was getting, stopped and paused and talked to him. If he will stop and pause to a thief hanging on the cross of Calvary in the midst of God forsaking him and the sins of the world being laid upon him, don't you think for a moment he will stop and pause and just think and talk with you? Who put faith and trust in the finished work at Calvary, the author and finisher of our faith. I can think back through my life and many answered prayers that have been answered. Why does God answer those prayers? Because He loves me. We've got to respond to the love of God. If we're going to get through this negative world, because I'm telling you, you spend a whole lot of time in this negative world. If we're going to get through this negative world, we've got to start responding. I read something this morning in our Sunday school curriculum. It said there's the two greatest times in a person's life. I would say there's three. The greatest of all is being born again. But you can't be born again until you're born of water. Humanly speaking, so your human birth, and then being born again. And the third is greatest thing, a time of a person's life, should be when they realize what God has for them and for them to get involved in doing that. That's responding to the love of God. So if you're going to get through this negative world that you're in, dear friend, you're going to have to respond to the love of God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing. We're so anxious nowadays. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Start responding to God's love towards you because He loved you before you ever loved Him. Secondly, in verse number 8, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're going to have to get to the point where we have to reprogram our way of thinking as God's children. Do you understand that God saved us for a reason? He saved us to be a peculiar people. We're not to be, as the world, you know, when people have deaths that come around, God tells us in 1 Thessalonians, says, listen, you don't have to worry about this because you have hope, not as others who have no hope. We're to be different. We're not to be the same. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, but all things are passed away. All things are become new. There's a difference. You have taken on the 1 Peter says you have taken on the divine nature. The Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in your body. What? No, you're not. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the temple of God. You are to be different. But many of us think that we're just our own person. We do our own thing. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to heaven. I appreciate you making me a mansion up there, but I'll deal with that in eternity. Right now, I'm going to do my thing. This is my life. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. We're going to have to reprogram ourselves. Why is that? I begin to think about that, and I think the number one reason is that we're bombarded constantly with such negativity. How many of you watched news this morning? Before you got up and came to church this morning. How many positive reports did you get? Just constant bombardment. Everybody has a smartphone nowadays. I mean, it's just right there at hand. You download a news app so you can try to stay informed and stay up on things. And they ask you, do you want to receive push notifications? I had no idea what a push notification was. I said, no, I don't want to be pushed around. One day I didn't push no, and I've been getting push notifications. What that means is, whether you want it or not, and some of them cheat, they just do it. Up on my screen, I pop a little blurb of somebody just got ran over, somebody just got shot, somebody just robbed a bank. And they keep notifying me of all this negative stuff and everything that's going on around me. All the violent acts are reported. I mean, every time we turn around, a kid suspended from school, he had a knife, he made a shape of a gun out of some macaroni and cheese on his plate. We said, what about the kid who got straight A's? What about the kid who went to the teacher and brought her a gift and said, thank you for being a good teacher? There are no reports like that coming out. Get reports about a man arresting a six-year-old, putting in handcuffs, and it just constantly bombarded. What about the six-year-old who learned her ABCs or his ABCs and get the... Where's those reports at? They're not there, are they? So we're constantly bombarded. We live in this negative world, and we're full of all the violent acts that are reported. Amber Alert. Wah, wah, wah. Seven phones going off. Some child abducted and going on. What about the dad and the mom who took the child out and took them to ice cream, sit down and did their homework with them, read them a Bible story and prayed with them and brought them to church? Where's those reports? Non-existent. Because this world is negative, and this world is controlled by the devil himself, the prince of power of the earth. This is why he wants the negativity all around us. Paul said here in Philippians, rejoice again in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. We've got to reprogram our thinking. I'll be honest with you. I think there's some real psychological dangers with all this negative bombardment that we're receiving. You know, everybody that loses a battle usually loses it in the mind. Before we ever start on something, I can't do that. I'll never be able to make school grades, enough to go to college or go to a trade school. I can't learn to weld. I can't even duct tape something together. How am I going to learn to weld? And we lose the battle in our minds. I think there's real psychological, it's just psychological warfare, dear friend, that is tied into spiritual warfare. That's why the Bible says to us to bring our thoughts and imaginations into captivity under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We listen to this music that runs us astray. We watch televisions that, listen, television shows galore. Shame on God's people, dear friend, for going and watching something that just shows direct torture to the creation of God. My preacher, you're starting to meddle now. I know. Shame on you, dear friend. If you're running around here watching that old series Saw, S-A-W, where they show torture, that's messing up your mind, dear friend. Ooh, Brother Ray, how you doing this morning? I felt that they had to, ooh. They let out air. Y'all got to quit doing this to me. I've been doing this over 25 years now. I've got it. When you... I know I got you. Watch and listen, dear friend. Why in the world are you watching something where some man's grabbing some person and biting them on the neck, sucking their blood out? Do you understand that life is in the blood? That's demonic. Sheesh. Oh, Lord. Let's cool down. Brother Phillips, you doing okay over there? Church, I love you. But you wonder why you're so negative at night? You wonder why most of you wake up in a grumpy mood? You just watched a horror movie at 12 o'clock at night. You climb out of the bed like you Jason on Halloween 13, Friday the 13th or somebody. Next morning, man, look, come to this. You got my coffee made, woman. Quit huffing and puffing. I'll move on. Honestly, I'm thinking, I tell you, not only is it psychological damage, I think there's physical damage. All this stress we're living under. I read somewhere in a medical magazine one day that it says it takes more energy to frown and pout than it does to smile. I don't know, because I ain't got much energy to do much of nothing anymore. Smile. I just got to stay level. Smile, flat, level, because you offend somebody. You smile. What you smiling for, Sister Debbie? I don't know. What you frowning for, Brother Paul? I don't know. You're just scared. You don't even want to do anything but walk around on eggshells because we offended somebody. Don't even know what to do. We just stand there like zombies. I hit one of the other ones, didn't I? That was on purpose. Listen, dear friend, all this negative stuff, ain't no wonder we come to church and we don't want to sing the songs of Zion. We've been in bondage with the cares of this world. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. Hey, preacher, how do I reprogram my mind? How about just deliberately saying, God, I'm going to sit still for a moment to hear your voice each and every day. On purpose, I'm going to deliberately read the Word of God just a little bit so I can hear you speak to me. How about some just starting to every day thankful? We wake up out of the bed and we're sleeping on $10,000 beds and we put our feet on the floor mad. You got beds now that if your wife turns over, hers gets softer and it gets harder. And we wake up out of the bed and we're just mad at the world. How about just being thankful the sun come up and you can breathe? That's what he teaches us here to do. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. How about this is a good one right here. I don't know what's wrong with us as God's children anymore. Do you realize that we serve the God of the universe that created everything that we enjoy? Why don't we as God's people expect God to come through for us anymore? God, I don't know if you can handle this one. You know why you don't know you can handle this one? You're listening to the devil, the lies of the devil, and the wiles of the devil, and you're not in the Word of God looking at the example that's been written and preserved for us and studied different. And He can part the Red Sea for the nation of Israel. He can part your Red Sea at work. He can help Ruth and Esther close the mouth of the lion for Daniel. Put a asbestos suit around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and stand with them in the fire. He can do it for you. How about just expecting God to work on your behalf? He wants to. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to help you through your daily lives. He don't want you to be robbed of the joy. So if we're going to make it through this negative world, dear friend, we've got to start responding to God's love, and we have to reprogram the way we think. Thirdly, verse 8, we need to start recognizing the best in others. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. I've got a big secret. I want to help you out, dear friend. All people are imperfect. There is no perfect people. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect Sunday school teacher. There's no perfect boss. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect president. There's no perfect senators. There's no perfect mayors. There's no one that is perfect. But I have found this, Brother Jim. If I just take the time to stop looking for the dirt and searching for the gold in people, dear friend, I find a lot that can be praised about. People do have some positive things about it, especially here in the house of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I know, Brother James, there's times that there's just those folks that just rub you like a burr under the saddle. You see them come in the church door, and you have to really pray through all of a sudden. You have to get a hold of God. Oh, God, help me. This person here, there's something about it that just rubs you the wrong way. I understand that happens. But even in that person, there's something positive can be found. If we just look for it, for anything. He doesn't say if there's all kind of virtue. He says if there is any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, some are true, some are honest, some are just, but very few are all three. Very few are all three of those. They miss here, they miss there. They might tell you they're going to be somewhere, then that changed their mind at the last moment. Maybe they don't even call you and tell you. But there's something you can find to think of good report. Look at it, he said, whatsoever things are of good report. Sometimes it seems like the only thing we want to hear is the bad stuff about somebody. And I'm going to tell you this, shame on you if a backslider, a person that's got away from God, and shame on you if the first thing you think about is, I wonder where they've been. Shame on you. Why not thank the Lord they're back in the house of God? Do you understand there's some that really do some praiseworthy things? And there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know, That's awesome. That was a good job. And be careful. Don't expect to get a pat on the back for everything you do. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you got to run here, pat this one on the back, pat that one. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about lifting somebody up so they'll keep doing. But just honest, there's sometimes somebody does something that it's okay to give them a little praise report. Look at Philippians chapter 1. We're almost done, I promise you. That's point 1, 2, and we're on point 3. Only got 4 more to go. We're almost done. If I hold you over, you'll get into the restaurant faster than the other ones. They're standing there waiting right now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's what Paul said about the church of Philippi. You understand the church of the epistle of Philippi, the Philippian epistle was written while Paul was in jail. What an optimal situation. I'm not looking to go to the Orange County jail so I can write y'all a note. Really not. That's where God had Paul, and that's what Paul did. He stayed there in jail. He worshiped, praised, wrote this letter. And now here we are, thousands of years later, reading it, learning from it, so that we can see that there is some good things in others. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How could Paul say this? Remember, he's in jail now. In Philippi. And he's saying this about the Philippians. Because he found some positive things about them. The positive things. And he began to spend some time on that. So, number one, I must respond to God's love. I need to reprogram my thinking. And I need to recognize the best in people. Quit being dirt dollars. And be gold searchers in people. And help them along the way. Always digging up the dirt. Digging up the dirt. Leave the dirt to the dirt. You know what's the amazing thing is? If we do this, we'll have a conscious desire to be involved in reaching the lost with the gospel. How do you know? Because the Bible says this in John. This is what it says, and you finish it off for me. Lift up the eyes on the field, for the harvest is ready, right? But what do we do if we're not careful? We lift up our eyes upon the field. Wow, look at him. Dirty old scoundrel. Look at her. She shouldn't be doing that. Why are they involved with that? We're looking for faults. Listen, dear friend, every one of us has faults. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. And Paul pleads with the Philippians to do as he did. And as you get involved and you try to reprogram yourself and start thinking more like God thinks and looking at people through the eyes of Christ. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Then we get consciously involved with people that are hurting. And we help people that are hurting and those that are lost. And we want to help them to have the joy that we have. And that joy only comes through Christ. Let's close out with one verse and we're done. Psalms chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126, verse number 6. I purposely today did not look up at that clock at all until just now. I told myself if I don't look at it, it will not go past 12. I guess I don't have the mind-state power that I should. Because it is already 1:20. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing. Bringing his sheaves with him. How are you going to live in this negative world, dear friend? You're going to have to respond to God's love. God's going to love you regardless of what you do and how you do it. His love is unconditional and non-changing. My love may change. Your love will change. Their love will change. God's love will never change. We must reprogram our minds to think more like Christ and realize and recognize that there is some good in everybody. And look for the good. And those that are worthy of praise, offer a little praise. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming.